It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of John, John chapter 13. We're going to be reading from verse 3 through the 17th verse. John chapter 13, beginning to read with verse 3. If you'd open your Bibles, I'd want you to follow along with me if you would today in studying and reading the Word of God. While you're doing this, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Word, to find your place, John chapter 13, beginning to read with verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. After that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Let's begin with prayer as we have enjoyed the precious reading. Father, I thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. It's wonderful that you have given us this opportunity to share the gospel, to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He has died on the cross that we may live. Please, Lord, make it ever so clear today as we enjoy these words that You have written for us. You have allowed men to pen them by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We believe Your Word to be perfect and true. And help us, Father, so that we may know it and understand it clearer ourselves, that we may serve You and be better servants to You, that we may bring honor and glory to Your name. Now please, Lord, as we study, direct us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we finished last time we were together, we were looking through the verses of Scripture concerning the 5th, 6th, 8th, 12th, and 14th verse with the word wash. Now if you'll look with me again, chapter 13, verse 5, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. That's the first one. The next one you'll find towards the end of the 6th verse, Doth thou wash my feet? Was Peter's question. Verse 8, the Lord Jesus said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now once again in the 12th verse, So after he had washed their feet, and now in verse 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet. Now that is the times, and we have there five times, the 5th verse, the 6th verse, the 8th verse, the 12th, and the 14th verse. Those words, that word washed there, or wash, is speaking of part of the body, not the whole body. Now if you'll notice, and we've covered this just a little bit last week, last time we were together, that we left out the 10th verse. And I hope that you caught that when we're reading and going through that. You wondered why we didn't stop by and look at the 10th verse. because there is one more washed there. And Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. The Lord Jesus is setting up an example here for us to learn from, as the Word of God is to teach us, and it's so wonderful to have the Word of God that we may study the Word and enjoy this time. But as we look to the Word of God, it's important that we understand what it has for us. Jesus began to show these disciples, to teach these disciples, the set of a servant. We have talked about how that a servant will surrender his life and stay with his master because either he loves his master or he loves his wife and children that the master had given him. So he chooses to stay, and then they take the awl and make the hole in the ear, and that is evidence that he is surrendered to that master forever, never to leave again. Our Lord Jesus is showing us, teaching us the purpose and the need to be a servant and be able to serve him as the servant would surrender his will and his life to his master because of the love that he had for him. We too should do the same. We should set our life and our heart over to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the love that we have for him, because he first loved us. Now, we have the example of not only taking up, we have looked at the third verse for a couple of times now, Jesus knowing that the Father hath given all things into his hands. He could do anything that he wanted to, and yet he knew the purpose here and the principle here was to teach these disciples and to teach us by this example. So he took his garment aside. He took up a towel, thinking he could take anything, and yet he is taking up a towel, and chose to wash the disciples' feet. And as he would wash the feet, and then he would dry them with the towel, it's a wonderful example of a servant, because to wash the feet was something that only a servant of the lowest level would do. And so he was telling and teaching the disciples that that's, to begin with, we need to learn that we are servants, and there is nothing that should be beneath our service. Don't ever believe as a Christian, as there is a need there, that you can look to someone else and say, well, they can take care of that because I have too high of a position or too high of a level of authority. I can't do that. Never do that. You turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and find yourself that you are the servant. You are willing to help in any way that you can to lift a brother up, to help a brother to grow, and for us to grow as well. Well, the washing of the feet was this example that never should you place at any time something that is of a place that's too low for you, too demeaning to you, in service of furthering the gospel and helping to build the church of the Lord Jesus. So please understand that to begin with. Now, as we looked at these words, the five times we had the word washer washed, and then in the 10th verse we have the word washed, I want to show you that there is also a little more here for us to understand than just the principle of being a servant. As we find, Peter had a problem with this, and we have read this a couple of times, and so we're going to kind of just hit some of the marks as we're looking at it just a little bit here. But after he had poured the water in the 5th verse in the basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh the Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? He didn't understand why that the Lord Jesus was doing that. Well, to begin with, we looked last time in three other verses of Scripture in Matthew 16, Matthew 17, and John chapter 6, where Peter spoke up ahead of time. He should have been a little quieter, and he should have listened a little bit longer before his mouth opened. You know, an old saying is that please engage brain before you speak. Well, Peter seemed to have a little problem with that. He always had something to say, and instead of listening quietly and just waiting, he would speak immediately. Please that you wait upon the Lord, wait to hear what what he has to say. Immediately the Lord Jesus answered him and said in verse 7, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Well, he gave Peter an explanation. But instead of Peter just accepting that then, totally accepting that, instead of that, why, Peter came back and says, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." He didn't listen to the Lord Jesus. Is that our walk today, that we're just not listening to the Lord Jesus? We're kind of doing things our way. Maybe we're close enough. We're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming to church and we're serving in some level or another. But we immediately come out with this bold statement, "Lord, I'm not going to do that. Lord, that's not going to happen." And here, why, he said the same thing to the Lord Jesus. He said he went about to wash their feet. Now, how many disciples had he washed their feet prior to Peter? I'm not sure. But I know that there were a few as he come down, because I believe Peter had just a few minutes to kind of determine that he was not going to let the Lord Jesus wash his feet. Peter said unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now, he made something very clear here, and for Peter to be a believer, and as we talked last time we were together, we made the confirmed that there is one among them that wasn't, and that was Judas. Judas, because of his not coming to the Lord Jesus, because of that, he opened the door. He allowed, gave the devil an opportunity to come in and use him. If Judas would have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, the devil in this respect, in this manner, he could not have used him. But instead of that, Judas rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not trust in Jesus. And we find that the devil was able to come and enter him and use him. So it's so important, my friend, that you see the need to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved. Repent. Turn unto the Lord Jesus. Peter was saved. Judas was not. Judas gave the open door, gave an opportunity to the devil to come in and to use him in the way he did. That wasn't going to happen with Peter, because Peter was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter wasn't understanding something here. And that was the point of washing his feet, showing the need of the cleansing. Now, we go through, and let me read, and let me help you understand this, and I hope to make it as clear as I can, as quick as I can. Again, Jesus in verse 7 explained, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter said to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." Again, at the very end of verse 10, speaking of Judas, that had not come by faith to Jesus. As you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you must turn to him and trust him as your Savior. When he speaks of this word in verse 10, it means bathed all over. In the 5th, 6th, 8th, 12th, and 14th verse, it's speaking of washing just part of the body. And I'm going to explain the difference and the reason for that in a few moments. So keep that straight. In the 5th, 6th, 8th, 12th, and 14th verse, it speaks of a part of the body. And in verse 10, it speaks of being bathed all over. Sinners must trust in Jesus Christ. We must repent. Now, we're going to look at some verses of Scripture here as we bring this together, so that you can understand the difference between those two words that we have here. Now, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, and I hope you take time to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I'm looking it up, so I know that you have time to look it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Now listen very carefully to this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now we have the list of who isn't going to. And such were some of you. Listen to that response there. Such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified. Look the way they were washed, sanctified, and justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. By coming by faith to Jesus Christ, if in your past we are this list, we are out of this list in verse 8 and 9 and 10. As verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. That word washed there is the same word we have back in John chapter 13 verse 10. Washed by the blood of the Lamb. Washed through Jesus Christ and by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit as it speaks there. Let's look at another. Let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. You'll find that after 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy. You'll come to Titus. Titus chapter 3. We're going to read the 3rd verse through the 7th verse. Titus chapter 3. Beginning to read with verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. By the washing of regeneration, the 5th verse tells us, that's what happens when we turn and come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and are saved. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Washed us. All these examples, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Titus chapter 3, Revelation chapter 1, those words washed is the same as the word washed that we have here. So we can say in Hebrews, according to Hebrews chapter 10, 17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's what happens when we come to Jesus Christ as our Savior. Again, so we can say that our sins and our iniquities will He remember no more. They're non-existent, the Lord Jesus tells us, because we come to the Lord Jesus. To be saved, the cleansing of the believer for the daily walk is the example that Jesus is teaching also. And we have that found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, for the power and fellowship. Now, let me explain. We took time here to look at the 10th verse, John 13, 10. Jesus said to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Remember Peter's response above that in verse 9? Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter didn't understand what Jesus was telling us, and we need to understand very carefully. First of all, in verse 10, speaks of salvation. We read that in 1 Corinthians, Titus, and Revelation. Because of that, we can say, Hebrews 10, 17, that our sins and our iniquities will He remember no more. However, when we walk in this old world, we still have the old flesh, and so we need the washing. We need the cleansing from this old world to clean us so that we may have fellowship with the Lord. Now, many folks misunderstand and believe that when a Christian sins that they lose their salvation. That's not so at all. We are saved by the blood of the Lamb. Our name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we are eternally saved. Jesus Christ secures us by the Spirit of God. And you need to know without a question that once you've come by faith to Jesus Christ, you are saved and saved forever. Some people call it eternal security. Whatever you want to call it, you are saved once you've come truly by faith to Jesus Christ. As he went through these scripture verses here, Jesus in verse 10 said, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all." Remember, Judas is still present. Judas is still there. The other disciples have been washed. Their sins have been taken away. So you say, what's the need for the other washing in the 5th, 6th, 8th, 12th, and 14th verse? Why did he wash the feet then? Because when we walk through this old world, we get dirty. I don't know if you as a child used to walk out in the yard and play out in the yard and you'd be barefoot. Well, you'd come in and your old feet would just be filthy because you picked up the dirt from the earth, from the world. Well, we do the same thing as a believer as we walk through this world and through this life. We pick up and take on some of the dirt and the filth of this world. We need to have that cleansed. We need to have that washed. Well, because we walk in the earth and on this earth and in this world, that was presenting not only as a servant. Lord Jesus said you should be a servant, and nothing should be too small for you to take care of. There shouldn't be such a dirty job that you wouldn't jump right in and take care of for the name of the Lord Jesus. That's one picture. But the other is, well, that there is cleansing. Now, why, if we are washed, according to verse 10, we've been made new through the Lord Jesus Christ, will we need additional washing? It's for fellowship. You see, down here in verse 8, if I wash thee not, and again, that was just a part, thou hast no part with me, no fellowship, no participation, having a share in someone or something, no fellowship. We are the Lord Jesus. We know the Lord Jesus. We walk after the Lord Jesus. But by walking in this old earth and this old world, we get dirty, and we need to be cleansed. And yes, in God's eyes, we are clean, because all he sees is the precious blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus, when God the Father looks down upon us. But if we really want to have fellowship with him, if we really want to have the power of God, then we also need that constant washing, the washing of our feet, the washing of our hands, that we may enjoy sweet fellowship. God allows us not only to be cleansed and made whole in God's sight, we've got a new heart when we come by faith to Jesus, but also he helps us to stay clean. And as we read through 1 Corinthians, Titus, and Revelation, and again, the word in verse 8, you'll have no part, and that is no participation, no fellowship. Well, my friend, it's so important that we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us. We need to serve him and to walk after him and enjoy that precious time together with him. The 10th verse, the word washed there is in perfect tense. Because, you see, we've been made new. We have been made perfect. Let's look back at a couple of verses of Scripture in the Old Testament concerning this washing. Exodus chapter 29, verse 10. Exodus 29, and the fourth verse, I'm sorry, Exodus 29, verse 4. "And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water." That word there is the same as we have in verse 10. and that was an outward sign of the salvation of the Lord Jesus for the high priest and for his sons in the service of the tabernacle. So that gave us a picture of the cleansing that must come before any service can come. You see, you can't serve the Lord. You can't pray to the Lord. You have no fellowship with the Lord until you take care of your sin. That comes when you come by faith to Jesus Christ. Please repent. Turn around. As you listen to the call today, please turn to Him and accept the free gift of salvation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please come to Jesus today and be saved. Here in Exodus 29:4 speaks of that washing that must take place in your life. You know, we need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead shall be saved. Please trust in the Lord Jesus. Aaron gave this example as he was at the door of the tabernacle. But we also find in Exodus chapter 30, verses 18 through 21. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 17, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal, and thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not, or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offerings made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to them and to his seed throughout their generations. To maintain the work, to maintain the fellowship that was required, the work that needed to be done inside the tabernacle. And if you can place, and I don't know if you're familiar at all with the plans of the tabernacle, I have spoken of it different times, but we need to look quickly as you go into the courtyard of the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a building and a place where God was going to meet with man, with the nation of Israel here upon earth. They received the plans to the tabernacle at the same time that Moses received the Ten Commandments and the law. At the same time he received that, he also received the plans to the tabernacle. People talk about the Ten Commandments, but they don't talk about the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the joy of having this beautiful picture. And first of all, when you come into the courtyard of the tabernacle, you come to the altar. Well, that must come first of all to every person's life. You must come and bring a sacrifice for your sin. Now, when you bring that sacrifice, it has to be a perfect sacrifice. There must be the shedding of blood. It must be God's idea. It must be God's plan completely. And so as we look at those listing, the sacrifice also must die. That was requirements. And so those requirements must be fulfilled. Well, of course, until the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, was it complete and perfect. But we have the example here in the tabernacle as the priests would bring the offerings of the people. It's so important that you see the picture here, because you never came any further until you went by the altar. And that's what the cross of Calvary is to us. It's our sacrificial lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ died on that altar, on that cross for you and me, that our sins may be forgiven. And by that act taking place, according to the Word of God, a believer becomes a priest. Then we can move into the tabernacle. Well, the very next thing you'll find in the tabernacle is the brazen laver, a place to wash. You see, when we offer the sacrifice, our hands get bloody and get dirty. When we're working around, it had two layers, an upper layer to wash your hands and a lower layer to wash your feet. Because you see, the tabernacle was a very beautiful building, but it just had a dirt floor. So even though the priests were busy doing the Lord's work, they would get dirty. That's the same way with us. We pick up dirt from this earth, and we must be cleansed on a continual basis. They would find themselves over to that brazen laver, and they would wash. And then they would return. They could go into the place of fellowship, a place of wonderful service unto the Lord in the tabernacle. That's the picture we have here. My dear friend, it's such a joy to walk after the Lord Jesus and enjoy this time together. You need to come to Jesus Christ. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?